Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, and doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. Well, joining me in studio today, we're doing a podcast edition of Film Sociology, and I'll explain why in a few weeks. But it's not just for 59 minutes anymore, but we're doing a little bit of cross-pollination. We're doing cross-broad. It's like those sitcoms back in the 80s and 90s that would have people from other sitcoms on. These are late... You know, you're yes. Sort of old enough to remember that reference. It's okay.
And drama's doing it today.
It's fabulous. So we're, a little bit of cross-pollination. Joining me in studio is Vicki Bolson and Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes. They are the hosts of Taking Care in Business, which is a business podcast. Full disclosure, I produce it. So, but come for me, stay for them. And actually, we just got done recording their show, and they've been very happy and nice enough to hang out with me today. Hello, ladies.
Hi there.
So we're going to get to them in a little bit. We'll talk about their we're going to talk a little bit about the podcast, we'll talk a bit about their businesses, and then what movies they've watched, no matter what they're busy. So we'll see how they are. Actually, can you remember the last time you watched a film from start to finish?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, good. See? So they're busy, but they also have good time management skills. So with that in mind, opening in theaters this weekend, and yes, I'll get to the nominations, but this is one I think people were kind of bucking for it to be nominated for something, and it didn't quite happen. It happens. But the film Stan and Ollie, which is with John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan playing Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy, and it follows them on their last tour. This is in the 1950s. I remember late 40s, early 50s. And it's the camaraderie between the two gentlemen who have been famous at one time back in the 30s, and times are a little harder, and lifestyles haven't really changed for some of them. It's really nice work from Coogan and Reilly. And yeah, Reilly is in the makeup, really good makeup job as Oliver Hardy. And it wasn't until this time, even though they had been partners for decades, their final tour in post-war Britain, live theater. So they had gone from being big movie stars in Hollywood to doing not the greatest venues in small theaters in coastal towns in England. But this is the time where they actually really find out a friendship more than just a camaraderie. Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly are two of the best actors working today, and they have some nice chemistry together. And as somebody who's watched Laurel and Hardy films, they got the moves down. They got the routines down, whether it is the one in the bus station. But the fact that we get to see them do this live, it's more than just a mimic job. So anyway, that is opening this weekend. Go check that out. Now, the Academy Awards happened. This is the Film Geeks Final Four. This is the film fans version of the NCAA. So I guess I will ask because, y'all get to see movies for fun. This is, yep. So with the nominations out, And I'm not sure if you've read those yet. I will share them with you. But when this time of year comes, does it work for you to say, hey, I should go check that out because it's getting a little bit of recognition?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So here we go. So,
and actually, we like to go to the movies together.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we
really do.
You don't sneak food in, do you?
No, just wine.
Just wine.
We go to the Hard Craft.
We like to go to the boozy places.
where wine is loud.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
no.
It's totally allowed.
We here at Film Sociology do not condone such behavior so long as they sell it there. You don't have the coach with the really, really deep.
No, but that's a good idea.
That is a good idea, actually.
Again, we here at Film Sociology, we do not anyway. But yeah, I see we're the ones. Oh, gosh, you guys must be fun. All right, so it's at the north side. Anyway, so of course we are still in the phase where you can have up to 10 nominees. It's almost a participation trophy. I am an old coot and still think there should be 5. But our Best Picture nominees: Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice. Mm-hmm. Out of those 8, ladies, how many have you seen? I bet one.
I've only seen 2.
2, and they were?
A Star Is Born and Green Book.
Okay. Vicky?
I've only seen A Star Is Born.
Okay. Again, this is not an exam. There's no grading at this.
But I want to see most of them now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
And let's see. I say Panther's on video, Klansman's on video. Is Rhapsody? I really want.
Yeah. Is it the other one you've seen? No, you said
Green Book. No, and Green Book is really good.
And then everything else is still in theaters. I believe Roma.
Roma is on,
it's on Netflix. Yeah, this
something.
Video on
yeah.
demand. Mm-hmm. Although here at Film Sociology, go to a theater first. I don't care how big your living room
is. Oh, it's one of those.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it can be. And I'm going to get to that with the DVD release, Blu-ray release that came out this week. So,
okay.
It's kind of up in the air. I think if I had to pick 5, it would be The Favorite, Black Klansman, Star Is Born, Black Panther. Yeah, I guess. I wasn't a big fan of Vice. Vice was okay. I don't love Roma as much as others, although it looks great. We'll eventually, when it gets a little closer to Oscar time, which is February 24th, I guess you can see that on ABC. It's not here. But we'll get a little closer to that. And of course, if I give you Oscar picks, it's for entertainment purposes only.
You only said 4 and you were going to pick 5.
Oh, I did? Mm-hmm. Gosh.
I think if I was counting.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
He did 4. And then I thought he was going to
so
say
Panther.
It,
okay, fine. Panther, Klansman, Favorite, Star Is Born, and Roma. That would be my 5.
Okay.
A lot of like, but I mean, there's a lot of like, but didn't love on this. I think, and we had our critics meeting, of course, last month, and I was looking through my top 10, and let's see.
How many are on there?
1.
And really?
That's
which one?
The Favorite.
Okay.
The Favorite, yeah.
I think I'm going to see that this weekend.
I love acid tongue costume dramas, and this is definitely that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is there. Best Actor, Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born. I'm really excited Willem Dafoe got recognized for At Entry's Gate, where he plays Vincent van Gogh. University of Evansville graduate Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. Early on, the Academy likes to give kind of career nods at times.
Right.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if that happens for Willem Dafoe this time around.
Right.
Bale has won already. The others, Viggo's been nominated. Cooper's been nominated. Malick's a first timer. So anyway, I think early on, I think that's that. They also sometimes have a habit of giving out awards to people for films that the mainstream audience hasn't seen
as much.
Yeah. Great example is Julianne Moore for Still Alice, which is a wonderful film about Alzheimer's.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's not a date film, but very effective.
Yeah.
Actress in a leading role. Oh God, pardon my Mexican. Yalitza Aparicio for Roma. Glenn Close for The Wife, Olivia Colman for The Favorite, Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born, and Melissa McCarthy, thank you for not falling down in this film. In Can You... what's that one Melissa McCarthy comedy where she falls down? Most of them.
Yeah,
exactly. I was just going to say, I think everyone.
All of them, yeah. And this is another example. Glenn Close has been nominated 5 times and hasn't received it yet. The Wife is a good film, not a great film, and it's a really restrained performance from her. So,
she won the Golden Globe, though, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't talk about the Golden Globes here.
No, how does that, do you think, play into the Academy Awards?
Well, ask Jim Carrey. He won 2 in a row at the Golden Globes and hasn't been nominated yet. Mm-hmm. So it's there's only 2 award shows I follow, really, the Academy Awards and the Tonys. I don't have now I sound like a high horse. I don't have time for the others. And this is, I always remember Roger Ebert saying this about the Academy Awards. So there is a business aspect to this award. If you're nominated, you're guaranteed a film. If you win, you're guaranteed 3. And that's, and I've always believed that. Mm-hmm. So, so yeah, there is some business into this. I believe, you know, there will be a film that gets re-released in theaters if it hasn't already. You know, box office jumps because of these nominations. It's going to happen when we check out, for those who check out Box Office Mojo on Sunday afternoons to see how it went over the weekend. It'll be, and there will be boosts for everybody that's on this list. Mm-hmm. Best Supporting Actor, Mahershala Ali for Green Book. Northern Indiana's own Adam Driver for BlacKkKlansman, Sam Elliott for Star Is Born. Driver or Elliott?
Actually, both. But I was saying Adam Driver.
Yes. Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me? Sam Rockwell for Vice. If we're playing the career nod card, that's probably Sam Elliott. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who's ever said a bad word about Sam Elliott, except for producers back in the 70s who didn't think he had what it takes. And he will tell you that. There was a fun interview that I know the AV Club posted where he basically said, it's about effing time.
Oh, no. Good for him.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you there, Sam. Actress in a supporting role, Amy Adams for Vice, Marina Dattavia for Roma, Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone for The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite. Mm-hmm. Really happy for Regina King. And If Beale Street Could Talk, hopefully more people will check that out, the really fine film from Barry Jenkins.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Stone and Weisz were fun in The Favorite as cousins fighting for the attention of the Queen. Amy Adams, I believe, has had 5 nominations and hasn't gotten one yet. So I would say lean toward that.
Yeah.
So are there any categories that you want me to check out for you for your gambling purposes? I'm sorry, your entertainment purposes.
Those are the 5 that I was most.
That you always check.
So let me ask, this is,
please.
So Bradley Cooper, was he a director?
Yes, he was.
But he didn't get nominated.
He did not. That was Spike Lee finally getting one, even though he should have had one for Do the Right Thing in 1989. Some would say the person that took Cooper's place might have been, pardon my Polish, Poet Pawlikowski, the director of Cold War. Which, in a way, is kind of a Cold War version of A Star Is Born. It's a man and a woman who meet through the arts, and it's post-war Poland, and their careers and their lives never sync up. So it's, you know, if you mix La La Land with A Star Is Born and set it in 1940s, 50s, 60s Europe. So,
okay, kind of makes me want to see it.
Yeah,
it's good, and it's also on demand. I'm not sure if it's getting a re-release in theaters. There's always been a discussion about if you're a director, you will say, well, that I think director and picture should be the same. They should be in the same.
It's a hard one for me to understand.
Right. As somebody who's writes, I would say that the screenplay and the picture should be connecting.
Yeah.
But course, the actors will say, well, then I think it should be this. So anyway, Spike Lee for BlacKkKlansman. Of course, the Cold War we mentioned. Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite. Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. And Adam McKay for Vice. I was going through... I've mentioned a few that I was really excited for, like Regina King and Sam Elliott. Also the fact that Isle of Dogs, I do like Isle of Dogs, although I think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is probably going to get this by a long shot. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is making as much money as Mary Poppins Returns. So it's become that big of a hit. Really happy that Ballad of Buster Scruggs got a little bit of recognition. I was really excited for my top film of the year was Paul Schrader's film, First Reformed, which got a screenplay nomination. I, of course, if I was voting, I would have it for picture, and I would have Ethan Hawke for actor.
I love him too.
Yeah, it's really a good. challenging film about a small church preacher whose church has become a museum, and it's now funded by the neighboring mega church, and he has a new pastor. New congregant played by Amanda Siegfried, and her husband has some extreme environmental issues, and it questions one's faith. It questions what is a business, and we find out that the mega church is being funded by a major corporation with environmental problems.
Oh boy!
So somebody you probably wouldn't have on your show, but that's inside joke, folks. So anyway, but it's a challenging film, and I love Paul Schrader. Paul Schrader is the man who wrote Taxi Driver, Raging Bull. He directed Blue Collar, Affliction. He did Autofocus. He is my go-to guy if you need a story of a person, of a man in a downward spiral.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. So
also,
good,
not a date film.
Right.
Bring plenty of wine, ladies.
Okay.
So anyway, those are out there. And kudos to RBG for getting a documentary nomination. So now is the obligatory part of who didn't get in, and I have my list right here in front of me. So first off, no lady directors. Even though you have three that were on my top 10 list. One I sort of understand, but I still like that was my number 2 film of the year. Lynn Ramsey, who directed the Joaquin Phoenix film You Were Never Really Here. Imagine Drive with dad issues. Deborah Granick, who had a really lovely film called Leave No Trace with Ben Foster, about a father and daughter living in the wild. And then Chloe Zhao, who wrote and directed a film called The Rider about a former rodeo rider who has to retire because of a skull injury. And what she did was hired locals, no actors, just used locals. And it's kind of a rodeo version of The Wrestler, where this is the only thing this kid can do. He's 20, he's in his mid-20s, and he's forced to retire, and he knows nothing else. So those are out there. What was the IFJA, the Indiana Film Journalists Association? Our top film was The Hate U Give, and apparently they leaned more toward Black Klansman and Green Book. It's 1989 all over again, except this time Spike Lee is involved. I say 1989 because there was the how did you want to look at cinematic race relations, Do the Right Thing, or one best picture that year, Driving Miss Daisy.
You could say
Black Klansman and Green Book are taking those roles this time around. And kudos to Black Panther for being the first superhero film to get a Best Picture nomination. Also in my top 5 that I thought would get a screenplay at least, or at least a sniff, Bo Burnham's film Eighth Grade.
Oh, yeah.
That's just out on demand.
It is out on demand.
I really want to see it. We both have eighth graders.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's first off, you think, you're not in eighth grade anymore.
Yeah.
And anything that can overpower the cinematic fairy tales of John Hughes films from the 80s, I think, is even better. Have you shown it to you?
Yeah, we watched it.
You
together.
Did? Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Don't know if they're ready for it, but after watching it with my Emma, who's a junior in high school now, I did show her the dark Todd Solondz comedy, Welcome to the Dollhouse. Imagine eighth grade, but way darker. A little tougher, a little more cruel. Maybe wait a couple years.
It's pretty cruel. Eighth grade's pretty cruel.
It can be. So anyway, I was was really hoping eighth grade would get some recognition, as well as the documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor, and not just because of PBS.
Yeah.
And then another film that made my top 10, another documentary that I'm stunned because it's a great story, but the documentary Three Identical Strangers, about triplets who were separated at birth and they reunite. And we find out not just the reuniting and the fame and the fleeting fame, and also what happened to the organization that had separated them. So it's a fascinating story. It's one of the most fascinating stories I've seen this year, documentary or otherwise. And then finally, we were hoping Toni Collette getting a Best Actress nod, I wish, for Hereditary, a very intense family thriller. But also known as Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They laugh because they know it's true.
Right. I was going to say you actually have no idea what
you don't know.
I know.
You've
I'm
hit
bringing
it on the head.
May I come to your dinner for the holidays? I'll bring popcorn.
There you go.
And a big thing of wine. Yeah. Really? Oh, I see. Now I want to go just so I can throw out little topics and then just sit back and watch. watch Rome burn.
Do you put milk duds in your popcorn?
Oh, no, I have. That is not my first choice. Or Junior Mints.
I think I prefer the Junior Mints.
Well, you do that?
The only time I eat popcorn and milk duds is together at the movies.
Really?
Uh-huh.
When did that start?
I love popcorn.
I've been doing that for, gosh, 20 years.
Nice.
Mm. It's like your own little caramel corn sort of thing.
A little bit, yeah.
Going on. It's even better if you put some kind of salt, like a ranch salt or cheddar salt, and it's just...
Those places that we talked about that also serve the wine, they also have the flavored salt, which is always good of some kind.
Oh, I love that.
My go-to at home is I make sriracha lime.
Ooh,
melt butter, squirt a little lime juice, even better if you get fresh lime,
yeah.
And a little bit of sriracha. So it's a little buttery and hot. Old Bay and butter is always good. So
or butter and Parmesan cheese.
Butter and Parmesan is always good. So that's the salt. You don't even need
or nutritional
that salt.
Yeast.
Yes, that too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, nutritional yeast is good on popcorn.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so totally good.
It's kind of cheesy.
We see what you did
and
there.
She's really funny.
I know. Anyway, so with the nominations, what do you think, ladies, you might want to check out next?
The
favorite, okay.
Yeah, probably the favorite would be.
Yeah, I want to see. I usually try to see most of them, mm-hmm. but this year I've just been sort of a slacker mm-hmm. with my movies, and to be honest,
yes,
I haven't really been drawn to a whole lot.
I haven't either. That's the problem.
But I'm like kind of waiting. But I think I'm going to see The Favorite this weekend, and then I want to see if Beale Street could talk as well.
Yeah.
Very good.
I do want to see that. I want to see Roma.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the one that I really want to see the most
is
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that one. Me too.
Yeah, and I think that is staying in theaters a little longer because of this.
I don't think it's anywhere.
Is it? Okay.
I don't think so.
I will have to check. I'm stuck in a studio, so I can't check. Anyway, so that's out there. And at the very least, you can get the album or you can just watch the Live Aid performance on YouTube, which they recreated beautifully.
Well, here's a good question.
Yes.
So is one or more of A Star Is Born songs up for best?
Shallow
original?
Is.
Yeah.
Shallow. That's
just
really,
shallow?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think looking at the song category, and I'm scrolling through it right now, hot scrolling action on film sociology. That's not true. I was like, of the five songs that are nominated, I can remember four of them, but I'm trying to figure out which one has the biggest impact. You have All the Stars from Black Panther. And by the way, will you let Black Panther win Best Costume? There's more than just period costumes in this category. I'll Fight from RBG, which I believe is Jennifer Hudson singing that. The Place Where Lost Things Go from Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah.
When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings from The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I believe that's the Tim Blake Nelson tune. And Shallow from A Star Is Born. I think Shallow is used, as far as a song used in a film for effect, I think Shallow is the best one. Because
they base it on, is effect?
Well, not necessarily that. I mean, that's a debate that could go for several hours. A while back they had a rule where it couldn't be a song that was tagged on at the end of the trailer or at the end of the credits.
It has to be in the middle or
which explain
the story.
Could be because there was one year I really thought Bruce Springsteen's The Wrestler should have won, and it was something from it was one of the tunes from Slumdog Millionaire. But I think they're trying to make that it is incorporated into the story, and Mary Poppins Returns is cute, and there's nice little notes to the original Mary Poppins. When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings, there is one of the short stories is Tim Blake Nelson as the traveling singing cowboy. But I really like Shallow, and it's one of my favorite moments in film this year. I know for a lot of people, they say, I know my colleague and fellow IFJA-er Lou Harry says Star Is Born is the best first half film of the year, and it caps with Shallow. So I would pull for that if I was voting.
Mm-hmm. So I have a quick question.
Please.
So Grace texted me a couple nights ago. She was seeing the Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. And she just kept asking, it seems like this movie is going in fast speed. She's like, is it a 1.25 speed on purpose?
I don't know if it's that. I think it's just filming.
Okay.
I think it's,
I don't know what she means because I haven't seen it.
No, I think she's talking about a film. Yeah, she's about a, I think she's asking about film speed. So it could be a couple things. It could be, one, it is shot that way. Two, it's the projectionist's fault, not the film.
Oh.
It's like if you've ever been to a movie theater and you see the boom mic and then there's a big laughter,
yeah.
That's not the filmmaker's fault. That's the kid who should be better trained to put the camera and show the film. So I don't
so
know if it's
interesting.
That.
Interesting. Yeah.
But was she in Puerto Rico when
she was?
Well,
yeah.
maybe it was a technical kind of thing.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. I just thought you might have an answer to that.
Well, there was an answer. I don't know if it's the answer. But,
we're going to go with
hey,
the
an
answer.
Okay. Starts a real dialogue between myself and my teenage daughter.
Very good.
That's good.
It's funny. I was thinking about looking at this list again with Can You Ever Forgive Me and Bohemian Rhapsody. Can You Ever Forgive Me?
It does. It looks scary to me.
What makes it scary?
What's that about?
It's about a forger.
I know. I just think the way the trailer runs, it looks like, can you ever forgive me? I don't know.
Melissa McCarthy plays, and it's based on a true story.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, where she forges letters, letters from famous people. Well,
you know what it reminds me of?
What does it remind you of?
Oh, my gosh. This is exactly what it reminds me of. Was the movie called Misery?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody's feet are broken in this one.
But that's what are you that's the feel of it.
Or is it also your heavy set lead that's not doing
no.
nice things? All right, just checking.
No.
I'm just checking.
No, I don't
Academy
think so.
Award winner Kathy Bates, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's probably the dark wood, probably the crime aspect
maybe.
Of it, probably the fear of getting caught. There is that kind of imminent dread of
dread.
She keeps
that's
doing
good.
These jobs and you keep wondering when is the other shoe going to drop
mm-hmm.
is probably
mm-hmm.
maybe that's
maybe
the feel.
Maybe that's what it is. But, yeah, I want to see that one, too. I mean, if I have somebody strong.
There is a moment when Emma and I saw that, and this is where life comes into the theater. We always say leave your drama on the stage, leave your drama at the door. But we had lost we lost two cats in 2 weeks.
Mm.
And we lost the first one on a weekend, and then the following Monday we saw Can You Ever Forgive Me? And for the most part, it did its job where we just didn't think about life and we were sucked into the movie, except there is a subplot where Melissa McCarthy's character has a sick cat.
Oh, God.
So there was kind of, we were both kind of looking at each other, and every time there's going to be a moment where she enters the apartment, and you're like, oh, God, the cat's going to die.
Yeah.
So 3 days later, on Thursday, our second cat had to be put to sleep, and we were there for it. And that night we saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
My job was I need to distract my daughter.
Right, diversion.
We had
yeah.
a crap day.
Yeah.
So we had dinner. We saw Bohemian Rhapsody, and it's a standard music biopic. I don't think personally it shouldn't have been Best Picture nomination. Rami Malek for actor, absolutely.
Well,
but it's every other music biopic.
I was ticked when it got the Golden Globe too.
Why?
Because the star is born.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to that.
Can we soon? Because I yeah,
no, we'll get to that. Yeah. But the film did its job. I mean, it was not a great film. It's a good film, but it for 2 hours and 20 minutes it pulled me out of what I was going
right.
through.
Yeah.
Except for the scene
where
Freddie Mercury bought a house and had a room for each of his cats.
Oh,
and
gosh.
We both went,
really?
He says there's a moment where he says that.
Oh, that's
so.
My
a little
gosh,
bizarre.
You're like it's following
well,
me everywhere.
Well, Mr. Mercury was a little eccentric.
I think that actor
Rami Malek.
Yeah.
When he was accepting the Golden Globe, I was like, it was like such typecasting.
Yeah?
Mm.
I mean, he is him.
Well, he's going to be doing other things. I mean,
and I was trying to imagine him doing other things.
Well,
I was like,
because I know what, oh God, what's the series he is in? Do you
know?
You can say it louder. It's okay.
Mr. Robot?
Mr. Robot, thank you. We have interns. Not my interns, their interns. Thank you, young people. This is my podcast.
Keeping
it's okay.
it real.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, he was in Mr. Robot, and I know before Rhapsody, there was a remake of Papillon that he starred in. So it'll be intriguing to see what he winds up doing next. Okay, ladies. The thing about A Star Is Born, and I really liked A Star Is Born, mm-hmm. all it had to do was be better than Babs' version of A Star Is Born, which it was.
You think it was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I...
Okay, how many versions have you seen?
I have only seen the two.
Okay.
I don't know if I can go back and see one before Babs. You have to understand, though, that it was the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater that
really?
I remember.
Okay.
Which I would have only been like 7, and my mom took me.
Did your mom know what she was getting into?
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Okay.
And all right. I remember not really watching the movie at all, but watching my mom be so happy.
Hmm.
Okay.
And I just literally was like, that's what I remember. And all then right. that was a soundtrack that we played.
Everybody,
I
mean, everybody had it in the mid-70s.
I know every word of the Babs version.
Yeah.
But
everybody.
I don't know every word of, I mean, I play it all the time.
Right.
The new soundtrack.
Well, you got 40 years with that soundtrack, and this one just came out earlier this year. So give it time. It's all right.
Yeah.
I've seen all four. And the first two, it's more about acting, and that's fine. But it... the things I... And I can't dispute your that's a major moment. That's a major moment. Mine was I was 5 when my father took me to see Jaws. Scared the hell out of me.
Well,
and we went to the and we saw it in a beach resort in New Jersey.
And
then
real ideal.
Went to the beach the next day.
Oh,
and
my
father, Dr. Soucy, picked me up over his head, hummed 2 notes. And walked toward the water.
Yeah.
Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, it's more da-da-da-da. Mm.
Thank you. Welcome to scatting here at Film Sociology. So anyway, but I remember showing that to Emma a few years ago, and her response, the little hipster, was hers going, yeah, I could see how that would have scared you when you were 5.
Yeah.
And I was like, great. So,
great, thanks.
So my issues with A Star Is Born is, one, as handsome as Kris Kristofferson is, there is no real redeeming qualities about him.
No, he wasn't
likable. And that's what makes the Cooper character probably the most sympathetic of the 4 leads. And the other part is, I wish I had written this, but somebody said... somebody said that Barbara Streisand couldn't win a Get Down contest if she was up against Debbie Boone and Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't care if she's permed. She can do Broadway. I don't know if she could fill a stadium.
Yeah.
So that's...
She's not...
And it's,
she's not as much of a...
is a very... And all 4 films, they're melodramatic, and I mean that in a good sense. However, there is a moment in the film, my dear, dear friend Laura Jansen... We would get together and have too much wine and other things and watch movies. Mm-hmm. And the moment in the Babs version of Star Is Born, when she catches him with a reporter, and it's every movie cliche, and this is 1976?
Yeah.
Where they're fighting to the ground. She hates him. She wrestles her to the ground. And then they start doing forgiving sex.
Yeah.
Laura kicked me so hard in the leg. The kind of, and I can't exactly say what she, but I bleeping hate you for making me watch this.
Yeah.
It was that abrupt. So there's the degree of melodrama really kind of goes off the rails a little bit for me.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
What the latest version has done is it added more layers to the Cooper character, and my daughter has argued that it's Gaga's story, and I went, no, it's both their stories. But the fact that they layered him with the hearing problems, the dad issues, the brother issues, and then all the show busy stuff, and So there's that. And then when Gaga, when the Gaga character becomes famous, and then, of course, we get obligatory slimy A&R guy who's going to change her sound, which is a little wink and a bit of irony since Miss Meat Dress has always established her own identity and her own. I swear I'm letting that go. I started liking her when she was singing with Tony Bennett. I'm that old guy.
Remember when she sang? It was on one of the award shows.
Well, she did a song from a documentary called The Hunting Ground, which was about rape on college campuses, another date film. She did that one. So when it was stripped down, acoustic.
She did the Sound of Music. She did some award show where she sang, and this, I think, was even before she was singing with Tony. I almost said Tony Danza, Tony Bennett.
That would have been fun.
That's a duets album that's not happening.
Exactly. But that's when I really was like, holy cow, who is this person? Yeah, I think she's fantastic.
Yeah.
The Joanne song from her, Joanne. I mean, the story behind that, if you've not seen 5 Foot Two, the documentary.
I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
It just makes her such a real person.
It. Yeah. It's,
you have to see that.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like truth or dare, but not conceited. So it's out there. Okay. So anyway, there's plenty of films out there. So hopefully you go check it and you know, get a glass of wine or two.
Bottle.
Right.
And an Uber. Sunday, that's Sunday, February 24th at 8 o'clock Eastern on ABC. So we'll get to that in a little while. We were talking earlier about the film experience. Mm-hmm. And I bring this up because one of the big films that come out this week is the IFJA's number one pick, The Hate U Give, which follows a young woman who's at a private school, although she lives in the not so great part of town, and what happens when she witnesses a shooting in her neighborhood. So her two worlds collide. It's one of the better films about urban city life and race relations, and it really it's Spike Lee level challenging. So hopefully more people will check that out. The other big title this week is First Man, which a lot of people were expecting to get some award recognition, and it didn't happen. But it's the follow up film from Damien Chazelle, who did La La Land and Whiplash, and it stars Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong. As I was watching this, and it goes from the 50s until the big moment when he landed, when he walked on the moon. When I'm watching a film like this, as a critic, as an old codger, I'm trying not to compare it to other films because it's been a long time. I fortunately grew up in my cinematic world of having not one but two excellent films about space travel. The one is The Right Stuff, and the other is Apollo 13. Mm-hmm. And trying to compare First Man to those films is not fair to the film itself. We do it all the time. I know. I just did a breakdown of A Star is Born. It has the Apollo 13, and it doesn't succeed as, and I don't think it's as good a film as either one of those, partially because, what is similar, like Apollo 13, you know how that ends, but it's still a riveting film. And there is a little bit of that with First Man. Because, again, we know how it ends. The other part is it's more of a biopic of Armstrong himself. So we have him, you know, testing stuff at NASA, home time with his wife, played by Claire Foy. She has the one obligatory yelling wife scene, but it's also underplayed material. Gosling is muted and underplayed, and it's fine. I think what The Right Stuff did was show this kind of basically space cowboys, these kind of American heroes that were pushed up, and that's the part of the Tom Wolfe novel. The other part was I wish I had seen this in the theater. I wish I had seen this in IMAX. There's a great moment at the beginning where he is testing out a rocket, and I could tell. Sitting in my living room, I'm like, this has been way cooler in a theater with the sound and the screen. So anyway, it's a good film, and I liked it in spite of trying not to compare it to Apollo 13 and The Right Stuff. And trying not to compare it to the director's last two films, one of which was my top film, the other one was, I believe, number two when it came out. So anyway, that is out on DVD. A few road trips Because I enjoy I grew up an hour north of Detroit, so I was used to going to Detroit for movies. But at IU Cinema, Saturday at 4 o'clock. This is not a double feature. These are separate screenings, but it would be a fun double bill anyway. At 4 o'clock, the original 1946 Gilda with Rita Hayworth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a fan of the Rita Hayworth poster in The Shawshank Redemption, and I am, it's from Gilda. But it's a really cool film noir with Glenn Ford and with Rita Hayworth. 7 o'clock, Saturday, January 26th, original Tim Burton's Batman from 1989. Mm-hmm. And executive producer Michael Uslane will be there for the 30th anniversary screening. Sunday, January 27th. Did you see Batman when it opened?
Yeah.
Did you remember how long you had to wait? I had to wait 3 hours before I got to see that.
I don't think I saw it like maybe right when it opened.
I see. Yeah.
So I mean, I definitely saw it in the theater when it was.
Yeah. It was summer after my night. It was summer after my freshman year at college. I had nothing to do, so I waited. So.
I think you like the thrill of the wait and the
waiting is the hardest part. Yeah. I believe Mr. Petty once sang. It depends. I can't.
And the excitement of being able to say I was there and tell everybody.
Part of it is that. I mean, I remember I've only bought movie tickets over the phone once. And I remember
no Fandango for you?
No. No. I will. Well, part of it is as a critic, these are first world problems. We get screenings in advance, we get seats automatically, so I don't have to worry about waiting in line. Mm-hmm. But in 1996, Lynn and I we bought movie tickets over the phone to see Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet. Because it was playing in one theater in Chicago. And you know, I'm not on the phone that long with friends contemplating suicide. And there were rock concerts easier to get into than this film. Yeah, people were jumping and claiming seats. And I mean, it was. And when the lights dimmed, people cheered. It was kind of a concert feel.
You're going to roll your eyes, but have you ever won a ticket to see, like, on the radio?
Yes.
You know how they'll be like, the fifth caller.
Yeah.
You know, you'll do a movie premiere.
What was yours?
Popeye.
1980.
Yeah, Popeye. And I remember strutting in there and thinking
that is so
cool.
Funny.
And I like dressed up. I would have been 10. So I like dressed up. And it was a good one too.
In 1983, I won tickets to the Richard Gere film Breathless. And I remember because my brother tried to take me and they wouldn't let us in because he was not an adult. Well, he was. No, not really. He was not a parent or guardian. So I wound up taking my mother. And that's OK. But she liked to look at Richard Gere. So, congratulations on that. Yeah,
it was fun. I'm still kind of reliving it, you know.
I bet you remember it. Those moments are special.
Yeah.
It's funny because I just finally finished and we'll get to other stuff on DVD. I have some DVD titles I need to talk about that I caught up with finally. But I just finished a box set of Robin Williams. Time Life Home Video put out, not kidding, a 22-disc collection.
Wow.
And it's basically every non-film he's done. SNL, all of his HBO specials, any award show he appeared on, all the times he was on Carson and Kimmel and Leno. I mean, it's packed. It's thorough inside the Actor Studio. But yeah, there's obviously a lot of talk about Popeye working on that and the HBO documentary about him. And I started it in March and then I would get sidetracked by this or that. Yeah. So anyway, I will be getting to catching up on some movies that were sent to me because I got to let my distributors know. So I finally finished that and it's a reminder of what a treasure we miss. And when he was on, it was absolutely positively on. And he told the story while working on Popeye, they ran out of money. And it was, so they kind of had to rush the ending as quick as possible. And it wasn't quite Ed Wood level, but, you know, Shelley Duvall flailing tentacles on her like she's being attacked.
Who was Olive Oil?
Shelley Duvall.
Yep. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. I think I get her confused with a different Shelley. So Shelley Duvall has the dark hair.
Correct.
And then, but there's another Shelley that, anyway.
That's all right.
Yeah.
But, he was still, it was still a fascinating project because Robert Altman directed it and it was Harry Nilsson who did the music kind of Robin Williams trying to find his way cinematically.
It was a good one.
Back at IU Cinema, Sunday, the 27th at 1 o'clock, the 1981 drama Lola, and then at 4 o'clock, the 2018 drama Shoplifters. Mm-hmm. Monday, January 28th at 7 o'clock, the documentary Making Montgomery Clift. Thursday, the 31st, the 2018 drama at 7 o'clock, Little Woods. And then at 10 o'clock, the 2007 drama, 4 months, 3 weeks, 2 days. Those are all happening at IU Cinema. Have you ever been to the historic Artcraft Theater?
Yes.
Mm-mm. In Franklin. Well,
I used to live in Whiteland.
And
I went to Center Grove.
I drive by there all the time, but I've never been there.
Mm-hmm. Well, mark your calendars, because at the historic Artcraft Theater on Thursday, February 7th at 7:30 p.m., they're showing Pitch Perfect.
Mm. Oh, I love Pitch Perfect.
There you go.
I do too, but honestly, you love that, like, more than anybody I know.
Very quotable for you?
Yeah. I don't know, musicals, Broadway musicals, and it's kind of all that in a movie.
Yeah, it's good.
And then Friday and Saturday, February 8th and 9th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., a chance to see this on the big screen, 1942's Casablanca.
Oh, yeah.
So those are happening at the Artcraft Theater. Let's see. Oh, so what happens in awards season? Again, these are first world problems here at Film Sociology, but the studios will send us award screeners for consideration. So I finally got through those. We had a meeting in mid-December, and then I still had a stack of movies that I didn't think was going to make an impact on my ballot, but I still wanted to watch. And I finally got through those and then started getting to the stuff that was sent to me. So folks at Film Movement, Shout Factory, thank you for your patience. But and what's fun about this pile, I have piles of movies at home. It's just little parenting note here. If you have a newborn child, you can watch anything the first year. Emma's 17. She has yet to bring up the fact that I watched The Wild Bunch in her presence while she was in the sleeping rocking chair. After that, you kind of got to watch yourselves. And the story, it happened when I'm in the living room. This is when I was living here in Indy. And I'm in the living room. I can see Emma. She was about 2 in the kitchen. She mm-hmm. had her little play saucer, where she's going to be fine. I could see her playing. I'm watching the movie. And I was the guy. Whatever is that to take note of this, interns. You're going to see guys like this. Whatever was at the top of the pile, that's what I was watching. Mm-hmm. And then my wife came home and heard what I was watching. I was watching The Exorcist.
Oh,
and it wasn't even a bad part of The Exorcist. I mean, not the famous parts of The Exorcist,
right.
But I saw her take Emma and go upstairs. And finally went, okay, all right, I'll start monitoring what I'm watching with my kid. And former kids film correspondent Emma Sosi, of course. So anyway, but what's fun about the movies that have been sent to me, it could be a musical, it could be a coming-of-age story, it could be a crime drama. Just whatever's there is whatever's there. And at the beginning of the list, Shout Factory had finally put out, and it was to commemorate the 60th anniversary, but they finally put out on DVD, this was a Sound of Music Live that was done in England. Not the Carrie Underwood one from a few years back, but this was done for ITV, and it was used for great performances that was aired on PBS earlier this year. And it's Kara Toynton, if I hope I'm saying it right, is Maria, and Julian Ovenden, for you fans of Downton Abbey, who's playing Captain Von Trapp. And and it's more cinematic, I think, than the American broadcast version. It flows better. It's also 2 hours, so it's shorter than mm-hmm. any version of The Sound of Music. And it's based off the play, not the film. So there is an extra number that is not that was in the Broadway production that's not in the film that they use on this. So anyway, there is another version of The Sound of Music if you are into that.
Wow.
That is out on mm-hmm. Blu-ray. Also, Film Movement put out in their classics, this is a 2-disc set based on films of the novelist Elena Ferrante from Italy. One is called The Days of Abandonment, and it's a woman whose husband has left her, and it's her trying not to go down a downward spiral, getting her life back in order, making sure the kids are okay, liking the musician neighbor that lives downstairs. Watching films that are from other countries, there's a part of me that, as I'm watching, I'm like, all right, how would Hollywood screw this up? And, a lot of music. It's not needed. A lot of exposition. certain moments, which we'll get into in a little bit with another film, that the mall crowd just wouldn't embrace. So anyway, it's a low-key affair. And it reminded me a little bit of An Unmarried Woman from the 1970s. Mm-hmm. The other one is a film from 1995 called Troubling Love, and it's a daughter who is connecting the pieces over her mother's death, which happens in Naples. So it's flashbacks and her trying to find out how her mother got to this point. Was it her uncle, her estranged father? And it's not a whodunit. It is a whodunit, but it's not a murder mystery. It's how did mom get here? How did she die this way? Mm-hmm. So it's not a crime, but it is. It's a, and there will be a dark family revelation. But it's a. It's another one that, a woman opens up as she's finding more about her mother. So anyway, that is a double disc from Film Movement, also from Film Movement Classics from 1995, and this was a great moment for me at home. I'm always the first one up. And I can usually get a movie in, especially on the weekends, before my smarter two-thirds wake up. Oh. But it happened this week. Emma was on a two-hour delay, and I got up, and my old clock, I thought my old clock said 6:59. It said 5:59, and I was awake. Mm-hmm. And so I popped in a film from 1995 called Midak Alley. And it's a Mexican drama of a slice of life in a neighborhood in Mexico City. And it is, there's these connecting storylines with members of this community. You have a bar owner who's been married for 30 years, but he's starting, the marriage is dull, and he's starting to have affections toward a young man that is roaming around his bar. You have a landlady in the building. You have a daughter of the tenant, and kind of connecting characters. So it's told from several different points of view, and it starts in the same place, a full bar of gentlemen playing dominoes, and then it sprawls to its own story. And it's an homage to the Mexican melodramas of the 1950s, which were huge back then. And because of the sprawling stories, I tend to say a film like this is operatic. And in, to a certain way, A Star is Born is operatic. And what I mean by that is it's not opera, but it's heightened emotions, heightened storyline. And it's intentional. My top film of last year was Three Billboards, and that's an operatic film. I think the films that Francis Coppola, most of the ones he has done is operatic. The Godfather, The Outsiders is operatic. And this film is also known because the daughter of a tenant is played by a very young, unknown in the States, Salma Hayek. Oh. This was the same year that Desperado came out in 1995. And it's a really well done. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes, and you got to be patient with it because it seems like we go back in time to tell another person's story. So anyway, but it's really, really well done. Mm. And that's from Jorge Fons. Also in from Argentina, a nice under 90 minutes coming of age story called La Boita, about a younger sister. The older sister is womanhood's kicking in. Mm-hmm. Hello, ladies. And she's feeling a little left out. The younger daughter's feeling left out, especially because womanhood is kicking in for her sister. She's hanging out with older friends. Right. Doesn't want to be tagged along. So instead of going to the beach with her mother, she winds up going to the farmhouse of her father's. The couples are separated. And she is one that doesn't really work. And she develops some feelings for the farmhand that's been there her entire life, a slightly younger boy named Mario. No heavily orchestrated score, no heavy exposition. It just naturally happens. And for under 90 minutes, it takes its time, but it tells a lot. And a great example of when the first kiss happens, spoiler alert, not really, it's done from, it feels like 50 yards away. A cheek kiss done 50 yards away. In Hollywood, it would have been an extreme close-up with My Girl orchestrated music. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
we're going to have to, like, see all of these.
I know.
They're out there.
Oh, my God. Vicki, we've got to, like, squirrel ourselves away.
Maybe there'll be a big snowstorm.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, that's the thing is, I always help, you say it was kind of a down year. And I understand. I was looking at my top list and, you know, it might be a down year for multiplexes. If you can't see anything at the multiplex that's working, go to the Art House. And if you can't find anything at the Art House, go online. Yeah. Yeah. And if you can't find anything on Netflix, Hulu, or whatever, I'm sorry. So
right. No, I agree.
And then finally from Japan, it was probably the weakest of the bunch, is a murder investigation called The Third Murder, where a gentleman has killed a man, set him on fire, has confessed to it, and then his lawyers, who are supposed to represent him, find out that his stories are conflicted, and as they would often say in trailers, not everything is what it seems. And it's
dun, 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 dun.
it's a cold, distant picture. I've seen enough of these that I'm like, this is kind of old hat. So anyway, those are out on video. If you look for them, they are out there. Now, back to cross-pollination and cross-promotion. So Vicki and Kathy are here with me. They do the podcast Taking Care in Business, which I produce. I make them sound even better than they already are, if I do
say
so myself.
Very tough job. Very
tough job. And, of course, you have Pedrotti Hayes Incorporated.
Pedrotti.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
With a name like Sochi.
I'm going to start calling you Sochi. If you keep saying
wow,
right.
Wow, duly
okay.
noted, duly
right.
noted,
okay.
And then of course you have Bolson Group. So, how did this show get born? A show was born.
A show is born.
Right.
That's pretty good.
I'm Lady Gaga. No, no. Well, so Vicki's company, Bolson Group, is located here in Indianapolis, and they do a number of amazing things for the community, for their employees, for the environment. And I was helping Vicki with her strategic planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had recently learned of something called B Corp certification. And I had this personal goal of, like, I'm going to certify the first company in Indiana with B Corp. And as we were going through a strategic plan, I'm like, hey, you know, you really should consider this B Corp stuff. So she said yes. And so we went through that process. And then after Vicki got certified, there was a fair amount of publicity about it, because it was, even though it wasn't technically the first Indiana company, it was like the Indiana based, I can't remember how, but it was basically the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And so then everybody, lots of people were very interested in having coffee with Vicki or me about what's B Corp, how do you do it?
Wine's better.
Yeah, right. That's when we started drinking. No. And so we decided, hey, we'll... rather than do all these coffees, not that we didn't enjoy them, but it was kind of time-consuming, let's come up with a series. So we came up with a series, a speaker series, through Vicki's Power Play is what you called it. Mm-hmm. And so we did like four, I think, about B Corp and corporate social responsibility. And then really there were people that were still interested. So we had this great idea to write a book. Okay, so we're going to write a book. Okay.
A physical book.
Right. Okay, so this is still, it's still on my calendar that we're supposed to talk at 11 every Friday.
You still have it on
I
there.
Still do. Oh, okay. And so we're like, yeah, we're going to write this book. And okay, it's really hard to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a chapter done, or like part of a chapter, mm-hmm. I think. And then we decided, you know what? People really like podcasts. So they consume information in different ways, and it might be a little easier than a book. I thought that. Maybe you didn't. But so then from that, a show was born.
That is exactly what happened.
And how long did you guys plan this out before you stepped in the studio for the first time?
Well, you know, it went pretty fast, especially because Bolson Group was my team was heavily involved. And, you know, we're kind of like the, you know, what's that saying? You're like the construction worker's wife. You know, you don't work on yourself. You work on your clients or whatever. And so it was really
familiar with that
pretty fast, given that we had other client work. But I really, really was excited about doing the podcast. And so, and also that was the summer that we had Grace intern with us.
Correct.
And that's my daughter. And she's really into sustainability and social justice and impact and things like that. And so she was helping with some things that summer. So it really didn't take that long. Neither of us have a background in anything broadcast. I mean, mm-hmm. I really don't even like getting in front of crowds and talking. So I was very nervous that I'd be able to do a podcast and do it and give it.
Well, yeah. And then remember we met with you and you were like, you know, a lot of people think that they can do it, but most of them suck. No, you didn't say that.
I don't think I actually used that word.
You did not say that, but basically that's kind
of
what
I was saying. Actually, several people, you know, said that. But at the time, you know, we didn't think there were, we could not find a podcast that was really focusing on CSR. And in fact, I think most of them that exist now are new within the year.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article that came out recently about the top five CSR podcasts.
See, there you go.
And I was like, oh, there's five of them now. And we were one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know about this one and that one. And so, you know, I'm going through and listening mm-hmm. to them to see, you know, learn more about them. But we just thought it was like this, you know, super fun way to really, because the book was going to be geared to smaller companies mm-hmm. like we own. That because a lot of people during that, you know, coffee time, they were, and then the subsequent four-part series that we did, people thought that it was going to cost them money to have a corporate social responsibility program.
Right.
And like,
or you had to have an officer do it, or you had to, like, it had to be a big.
It's a kind of a, it's a little bit of what's in it for me and how much is it going to cost.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just not the case, you know. I mean, you can. You don't. You can succeed in one area because, you know, most of the time, first of all, everybody always is doing well in a specific area. And you know, we're only a less than 20 people company, and we have a pretty strong, you know, program and affinity to CSR. So anyway, we thought that the book would be written to that audience, but the podcast is translated into, I mean, the guests we have are all over the place, mm-hmm. you know.
That's been fun because when somebody tells me they have a show to pitch, I tend to let them know, I tend to say, especially if it's a topical program. If it's mm-hmm. a music program, it's a little bit different, but if you're doing a talk show of some kind, you need at least 50 topics, at least,
mm-hmm.
because that gets you through from almost a year. And what's been fun working with you ladies is that, yeah, you get guests from here in town to elsewhere. I mean, you know,
we've
and
had
beyond.
London.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we've done it.
So the fact, and as you said, there's 1,000 film shows, but there's only a handful of CSRs, which has been, you know, which is a good niche for you ladies. But yeah, I also wondered, how do you, because y'all are mixers. I know that. You mix way more than I do as far as business settings and social gatherings. You know, how does, you just see somebody and think, oh, this could be show material? How do you pick out the guests?
Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes reading. I mean, obviously, it's an area that we both have an avid interest in. So we do a lot of reading about other companies. Vicky's been great. She's had some support from interns and others doing some research mm-hmm. on companies. One organization that we're both involved with is called the Women Presidents Organization. And it's an international organization, a peer group for women business owners. And so I'm actually the chair for the state of Indiana. Vicky's one of the members here. And so I've reached out to the contacts all over the country saying, hey, who do you have? Or all over the globe, really, saying, who do you have that might have an interesting CSR program? Who, you know, these are big companies. And if I just called them, they probably wouldn't talk to me. But if, you know, through this network. So different ways, I think.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of lists that are out there. We look at the people who are following us on our podcast, Instagram feed, et cetera, because they, you know, if they're interested, there might be a reason. And so we research those. And a lot of them are aspirational. And, you know, you just, you know, businesses that I am involved in that I mm-hmm. order from. Or,
right.
Or, you know, you hear a story and or your kid tells you something and, you know, all different ways.
Yep.
I'm just constantly thinking. And it's we also are getting a lot of people writing into us now.
That's a nice feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're being sought out as opposed to having to find.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's helpful because then, you know, we realize, one, we have listeners. And then, two, you know, it just, I don't know, it's gives us that variety. And now that we know, I want to have, a, like you're doing right now, the cross-pollination, I want to have one of the podcast hosts from mm-hmm. the other four CSR podcasts that were listed on ours. So it's thank you for having us. It's kind of a fun idea.
It is.
Sure.
Super fun.
Now, I'm going to name drop a little bit, because I know you've had Newman's Own on the program. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk has been connected in one way, mm-hmm. shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I also know, actually, Just Pop In has been on this program. So, mm-hmm. And I know you have archives. You just
they all exist on our website. So you can listen to any episode we've ever done by going to takingcareinbusiness.com.
That's right. So some of the other guests that you've had in the past?
We had Lisa Mattress. What else? I'm trying to think of the big ones.
I'm trying to think of people that, because we
the
just.
The Refill Shop. We've had local foundations. You know, I guess what's more important to say is that we try to cover different industries, different size companies, different representatives from companies. Sometimes it's the CEO, sometimes it's the HR, / CSR person. We just want to get a lot of different viewpoints.
Well, and I also think, too, it's about giving resources. So we've had a number of different groups like Impact Hub. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are resources in communities all over the world who support social entrepreneurs, corporate social responsibilityist, specialist. And so, you know, we want to get those out there as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Endangered Species. That was another one.
They haven't been on yet.
Well, guess what? This season, Endangered Species is going to be on.
Yeah,
it's my show. It's
okay,
all right.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say that, and then I just stopped myself.
That's all right. Well, you can know later this season, you can check out an interview with Endangered Species. This
exactly.
is promotions. I would
Shout
do that.
Out.
So,
one of my favorite ones we had, which was another aspirational one, was Thinks.
Thinks. That was early on.
That was one we had seen the original CEO speak at a who did TED Talks, and she spoke at our WPO conference in, was that one L.A. or New Orleans? I don't know. I just was like, oh, my
gosh. You know
what?
I think it was actually a Governor's Women's Conference here.
Well, she was at WPO, too, wasn't she?
Oh, I don't know.
And then she came, because I've seen her twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then she came to the women's thing.
I gotcha. Okay.
And, I so wanted her. But then she was replaced by another CEO. And
by the way, she winked for those who are listening at home. It's a great podcast.
You can
podcast.
Google that story if you
want. No, okay.
And so we had the new Thinks podcast or Thinks CEO.
She was lovely too.
And that's an amazing company. Mm-hmm. That was like super cool. I was really happy about mm-hmm. that one.
Very good. So you can check out Taking Care in Business, and it's .org?
.com.
.com. Thank you. I was there. So you can see all of their programs. And, of course, the new season will be coming up in about a month or so, maybe.
We haven't announced the date, but
soon-ish.
It will be
soon-ish.
End of January. It'll be 6 weeks-ish.
Okay. So
mid-March.
Just keep listening
somewhere
into
around
that.
There. Just go to, Google us, and you can see updates on the announcement of the date. We'll drop the first episode.
Very good. Oh, and I get to ask this too. And what are all your social medias?
Oh, thank you so much. Our social medias are, we have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and it's Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z.
Edgy.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. We're edgy.
And definitely, we try to put behind the scenes things that we're doing. In fact, we should get
a picture
of us doing this.
Yeah. Of course.
Which we will. And we always, there's a link in, Instagram straight to the episode, which makes it easy. And we give updates on guests that are upcoming and stuff like that. So there is a little lull because we do season and break.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to keep in contact with us. And we can, if you do have a guest that you want to suggest, it's info@takingcareinbusiness.com.
Yes. And just a little inside tip. Know what the show is about. Just going to leave it at that.
Leave it right there.
Welcome to more inside humor talk. There. So,
yeah.
So no, you know, it's like, well, you know what this show is.
Right.
There you go. So, all right. Kat, I didn't get a chance to ask you because, I Vicky talked about her early cinematic moment.
Yeah.
I had mine. Did you have one as a kid?
Yeah,
that really had an impact?
I did. Well, I grew up in a single-parent household. My parents were divorced, and I'm an only child. So, I mean, I went to, like, mature movies.
Let me preface this and then take note, interns.
Yeah.
I taught Emma early on to say grown-up movies. Because
okay.
If you say you're watching adult movies with your kid.
Right. It kind of
People come knocking to the door.
Mature.
So
I think I said mature.
Mature is a little close. It's somewhere in between there. But yeah, I hear you.
But
You saw grown-up stuff.
Yes. Grown-up stuff. But I do remember one early movie experience. And I think this has tainted me against Star Wars forever. And I'm sorry. I don't like Star Wars. And I've tried so much. But I went to see the first Star Wars, which of course is like the sixth or whatever in the whole thing.
Here at Film Social, we don't do episodes. I know it's Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's
it was
the
like
first
in the
three
70s.
And whatever else.
Yeah, whatever.
Star Wars in 1977.
So, okay, I was going to say 76. And we went, and it was one of those times that you had to wait in line, right?
Right.
And I went with my stepsister and my stepmom and my dad, and I ended up having to sit on her lap for the entire movie.
Because it was sold out?
Yes, I guess probably not, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I was short and I couldn't see over someone's head. And I mean, poor her. Like, that it was awful for me, but I mean, can you think about her?
Yeah.
So that is, yeah. That's but really, I do love the movies. I do. But
okay.
I do like to sit in my own seat.
Okay, I want to. Well,
that's a requirement.
So would the box office, really.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. We probably broke the wall.
Oh, so what's some other mature stuff you watch as a kid? Now I'm intrigued.
Oh, gosh. I don't even remember. Well,
where you're the youngest one there by about 30 years.
Yeah. Well, like Smokey and the Bandit. But that wasn't really. I love those.
Yeah.
You know, those were really good. I think there was a lot of Burt Reynolds.
In the 70s, there was.
Yes. But there was one where he was, it was like in the deep or something. And he was like depressed and almost committed.
The End. Yeah, I have that on Blu-ray.
That was good.
His second film as a director. Yeah, it's weird because I love dark comedies. Dark comedies are a favorite of mine. I love the idea of laughing at stuff you're not supposed to laugh at.
Yeah.
And it seems like he has a terminal disease and he wants to off himself.
Right.
And I think a lot of people were just not, and there was also a film that had done it better 7 years before called Harold and Maude.
Yeah.
But
that's
doing
a
mainstream film about suicide is not one that's gonna not gonna wheel him in. But Reynolds pulled a lot of strings and had folks like Joanne Woodward and Pat O'Brien and of course Sally and Dom and everything like that. It's an odd tone wise as far as dark comedy, but I still enjoy
it. I remember that one. And then this is kind of a funny story. And The Rose, of course.
Remember, it's not Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin was the Pearl. This is another singer played by Bette Midler. And she's the Rose, but it's not about Janis Joplin.
Exactly.
Just like Dreamgirls is not about the Supremes. Anyway.
Right. Well, so, and this is really funny. So, and I, melodrama, you know, we talked about the Star is Born and all of that.
Yeah, actually, The Rose and Star is Born, that's a pretty good double bill right there.
There's a pretty good one.
Self-destructing.
Well, I decided I was going to sing the song from The Rose.
Oh, God.
As part of
was
our
Katie
life.
Sagal singing behind you?
No. And it was like the fifth grade talent show.
Oh, no.
Or maybe it was sixth grade.
You mean
grade.
Not just singing in the privacy of your own
no,
house?
No. I got up on stage.
Oh, this is your eighth grade moment.
Yeah, but
only
I was
fifth.
In sixth.
That's sixth.
And to this day, people will come up to me and they're so nice. They're like, I totally remember when you sang The Rose. I am just mortal. And I always have to say, thank you. It was a really impactful film.
I bet you were actually good. Were you good? I just can't believe somebody would. I can't imagine doing that.
School talent shows can be cruel.
Yeah.
Yes,
because
everybody was nice.
There was a talent show. I got to MC it. That was my social status in high school. And this was the mid-80s. So there was a lot of rappers and a lot of loud bands.
Yeah.
And not a whole lot in between. So if somebody, and I remember a kid, I won't name him, who wanted to sing Yesterday by the Beatles.
Right. See, that would have been a good,
the
sad one.
And it was just a cruel, cruel audience.
Yeah.
That was not what they were there for. They were there to get loud and rowdy and listen to their loud and rowdy friends on stage. So
I
hope you're
okay. Nice to
okay,
me.
Good.
And apparently
I'm sure
it was
you were
a very
amazing too.
I'm not so sure I was amazing, but maybe distinct, but yeah, it certainly stuck my performance as Bette Midler at the Greenbrier.
You sang the Rose.
Elementary school.
You weren't doing Bette's on stage patter. I know that film.
No, I wasn't.
Where the manager saying, "Don't say this, don't say this,"
yes,
and then she goes, "Hey, this."
Right. So yeah, that was an oldie but a goodie too. Mm-hmm.
But if, I think the fact that and it was, your father was the one that took you to these, or and your stepmother,
No. Actually, it was usually my mom, and then sometimes my grandparents. I think my grandparents took me to see the Rose.
Have you had the moment where the adults had no clue what they were getting themselves into, and eyes were being covered, and they wanted to leave? Did you have that?
No, that never happened with my parents. But I do. I will tell you what happened.
Yes.
I did have to sneak in concessions to the
movie. Oh yeah, I did that too.
That was an economical thing.
It was an economical thing, and I look back now. I mean, sometimes I tell my kids, like, "You have a
don't
purse,
do this." Just,
no, I say, "Stick it in there, man." You know, but there was a period where I was really, I felt. Like, I looked back on it, and I remember how embarrassed I was at the time.
For doing it.
Because it was, you know, I mean, my mom had me put crab legs in my boots when I was a kid at the all-you-can-eat Red Lobster crab leg buffet.
And they smelled like feet?
I think it was because, I mean, it was a big deal, all the crab legs you can eat. And they're still one of my favorite foods.
Yeah, me too.
But, I mean, my parents were just kind of kooky like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know?
Well, I didn't ever do the crap legs and the shoes thing. That's pretty unique.
Yeah,
but
I
did the
concession
thing. I had a babysitter that would always, Mary Virginia, would always put stuff in her purse. Mm-hmm. We'd take it in.
Yeah.
So. It happens.
Yeah.
So, ladies, what do you like to, leisurely, what do you watch when it's movie night at home?
Usually,
and that's a different way of saying, because I tend not to ask, what's your favorite film?
Yeah.
I don't have that list because I have other things to do. But what's a go-to? Like, if you're flipping through and it's on, you'll give guys do this all the time. It's like 20 to 30 minutes of it. What's, you know.
I think it depends if I'm with all three kids or one kid or by myself.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, or a combo of them, because it's, first of all, it's hard to find something that a 20, 18, and 14-year-old all agree on.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I've seen it. I'll see it again. I don't want to see it again. You
right.
know. So it totally depends.
What was the last time you got a mutual agreement?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought I had them all on that thing with the blindfold bird.
Bird box?
Bird box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't, but had two of them.
It's a veto power.
Yeah, and then we're like telling the third one, are you kidding? You missed it, because it was just so entertaining, you know.
Okay.
Gosh, before that, I think it was literally in June. We were on vacation in Toronto, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but we did agree on something quickly. And it was the one where Matt Damon is like he is a gambler.
Oh,
Rounders.
Yes.
Rounders.
That's one of my
very good.
Favorite films. Yeah.
Yep.
So that was our last one altogether.
Wow.
Alone, it was A Star Is Born. I bought it early because, you know, you can get it 3 weeks early.
Mm-hmm.
And watched it with my daughter and some eighth grade friends who had not seen it yet.
Well, they were under adult supervision. So.
They were, and all their moms were, you know, I mean, they knew every word of the soundtrack already, these eighth graders,
mm-hmm.
because their moms and
so
all.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough for me. My husband is like, I mean, if I see Revenant one more time, I mean, it's on all the time. Like,
he likes it that much?
I mean, what's there? I'm sorry, but I don't even know what there is to like.
The joke
is
it's not an acting performance. It's an endurance test.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And it's on in my family room a lot.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so that it's always tough because he's really into, like, the macho and thinking about coming here and talking about films, I was like, so what are some of my favorite films? Thinking about it. And they're all about strong females.
Me too. Out of Africa, Gorillas in the Mist, Working Girl.
Oh my gosh. And I
love. Are you interns writing these down? Write these titles down. Yeah.
Because I was thinking of mine and then I realized there was a pattern.
Me too.
Yeah. What are some others?
Oh, this one is great. And it's a little bit of a sleeper for most people, not for Matt, but The Contender.
Yeah. Yep.
Joan Allen.
I would Jeff Bridges, yes. Gary Oldman. I was telling a story.
Such a great movie.
The thing that cracks me, Rod Lurie directed that. What cracks me up about that is there's a little running bit where Jeff Bridges plays the president, and he will bring up an item of food.
Yes.
And within minutes, a shark sandwich or hazelnut pudding.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, I want a hazelnut pudding.
It is,
but it's just a fun little bit. I would say Jeff Bridges would cater better for a championship team if they ever came to the White House. Anyway,
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first movie you went to with your husband, your first date movie?
I don't.
It's not the Newlywed Game. It's okay.
No, I don't.
So I was.
It was probably a James Bond. I mean, and seriously, like that's the genre we can agree on is like either the suspense, murder, mystery kind of thing.
Or not even one for you, one for him, take turns kind of thing?
Yeah, and we usually, I mean, we're pretty good at the theater. At home is where Revenant gets on the loop.
On a loop?
Yeah, that's where we have to just say. Or some of the, like, action, or not action, superhero. I'm sorry, I just really don't have an interest. A whole lot. So
my old film show producer Kobe, his lovely wife Bianca, one of her favorite films of all time is Gone with the Wind. She will have Gone with the Wind on while she's cleaning the house.
Really?
Will your husband have The Revenant on while he's puttering around the workshop?
Yeah. I mean, seriously. And here's another pet
peeve. Hearing DiCaprio grunt and crawl and be in agony, it is a soothing sound when you're putzing around the house.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm not good at watching a movie. Like, I have to watch it kind of from the beginning to the end.
Okay.
Just to see.
Because
the part.
It gets very distracting to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like to focus, and that's why I really like to go to the movies because otherwise I'm going to fold laundry,
right.
I'm going to do a dish, I'm going to.
Yeah, Tracy Forner of Indie Style, he's been on the show, and he has a running thing on Twitter where he will just write, damn, name of movie is on. And he will devote, 20 to 30 minutes because Jaws or Goodfellas or Rounders
Goodfellas
or something.
Is a good one too.
I took a date to Goodfellas.
Did you?
Oh yeah, this is fun. And I'm still friends with Gail. I love her very much. But it was one of those when you're a film knucklehead like yours truly is, and this happened more than once in my younger days. You get more caught up in the film than who you're taking the person to see it with. In case in point, Scorsese is my favorite director. I don't play in favorites, but I love Scorsese. And I said, we have to see it. So we went opening night, and of course the opening scene is the guy getting stabbed in the trunk. And she leaned over to me and went, great. And then of course they do the scene again halfway through, and she's like, you're kidding.
Yeah.
We're going to have to watch this again. So,
this is another, I'll tell another brief, really funny story. But, so Golden Globes, I know you don't like.
I don't put as much merit
but
in
anyway,
it. Ain't got time for that.
Yeah, clearly, right?
Right.
So, but, they have that weird comedy category or
whatever. Well, they sometimes are weird with their categories. I mean, there are record stores that are clearer in their categories than the Golden Globes.
So there was a movie, August in Osage County.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a family. Your Thanksgiving's okay.
Right, for Comedy of the Year.
Dark comedy.
Okay.
Dark comedy.
Okay, so we both have a mutual friend whose husband passed away suddenly years ago.
Oh, no.
And this really good friend of mine, of ours, and we always go to the movies together. Like, that's our thing. And so her husband had just passed away. And
you
I was
did
like,
not go see that.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, and I'm like, it's supposed to be funny. And then the clips that they showed on the trailers were kind of like,
No.
We get there, and what's the first scene?
Yeah.
The opening scene is the husband is dead.
Yeah.
And I look at her, and I'm like, I'm not going to cuss on your
Thank
program.
Thank you, because,
And I said, four-letter word. And then I was like, I am so sorry. Do you want to leave? We can leave right now. And actually, we've ended up telling that story so many times and laughing hysterically because, of course, I just felt horrible that I would take her there.
Not a good story in the sense.
And if you think the film is, it's a 3-hour play.
Oh yeah,
it's a law. I've known people that have done the show, and yeah, it's a haul. It is a haul.
But she did get a little bit of retribution because I wasn't allowed to pick a film for a while in our rotation.
Mm. I remember when Emma was starting to get into movies. I always refer to there was the first wave of when I showed her stuff, and she doesn't remember all of them. So it's that kind of, well, you saw that. No, Dad, I was 5. I don't remember. Yeah. But when she was getting into cooking television, as I was, I thought, I'm going to be the good parent. I'm going to, she was interested in documentaries. And I, again, like a guest, I didn't watch it in advance. And that was strike one on my part. But there's a documentary called Food Inc.
Remember?
Yeah, because it's about food sustainability so, and I thought, well, she was into fresh and organic and all that local stuff, and then she was, I think, 6, and we sit down, we watch it, and the first scene is on a chicken farm, and they have a scene where what they do with the chicks that aren't big enough.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to stop the movie. She was upset.
Oh, yeah. That really got my
and then for years that. Afterwards, because we lived near a Blockbuster, she would see the video box, and it's the poster was a cow with a barcode. And she would go, look, Dad, it's the movie I don't like. And it wasn't until she was 12 where we finally sat down and watched it. And she liked it, but yeah, we got to the first scene, and I'm getting an elbow in my ribs going, remember this, Dad? I'm like, yeah, I know.
Speaking of good documentaries, have you seen Fire yet, FYRE?
There are 2 documentaries about
Netflix
that film festival. I have not gotten to those yet, because that's a concert cluster if there ever was one.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah?
We're streaming them in the office today, actually, just because there's a lot we can learn from the mistakes made and what to watch for and everything else. You have to see. Okay. It's insane.
Yeah.
I highly recommend them. Very entertaining. I don't know. The Netflix one is the one I've watched. Hulu is the one I haven't seen yet.
Okay.
I think Netflix, they have actual footage that they used in their promotion and stuff.
Okay.
Whereas Hulu, because the film company that
it's about,
the agency that did like any of the video production and stuff had the video and they produced that film.
I see.
And the Hulu version has an actual interview with the investor who, I don't know, I guess thought he really could pull it off.
Which one would you watch first?
I watched Netflix first.
Would you recommend that?
Yes.
Okay. I had this moment with Emma because I finally watched Bird Box. She watched Bird Box before me, and I felt bummed because I was late to it because of end of the year stuff. But I basically said if Bird Box is if you took A Quiet Place, Blindness, and The Happening, and put it in a blender. And Emma liked it more than I did, and I kept telling her, I really want you to watch A Quiet Place because I think it's a similar concept. Mm-hmm. In obviously Bird Box's case, you can't see, and in Quiet Place's aspect, you can't speak.
Oh, okay.
No speaking.
I just didn't understand why they didn't move into the grocery store. I mean, I understand they didn't want to leave those people behind at first.
Well,
but I would have got my fanny back there and moved.
Part of it is the same argument why. Well, eventually you had to leave the house, but somebody was getting in eventually, as we find out in.
I have
in
zero desire to see it.
That's okay.
Abe doesn't want to see it either.
Well, he can come over to my house.
He can come over and not watch it.
We can watch The Revenant together.
There you go.
Wow.
That's funny.
That's good. So I have to come over for Thanksgiving. That's fun. And throw out topics. And then I'll help fold laundry while watching DiCaprio in agony.
There you go. You know what your place is in our homes when you come watch movies.
Yes, ladies, of course. It's a Jane Austen world. I'm just Mr. Bennett. I'm 3 feet behind as usual. So, all right. Well, ladies, this has been fun. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you for hanging out.
Yeah.
And you can check out Taking Care in Biz.com
business
taking care, well the the website itself.
Is business.
Takingcareinbusiness.com. You can check out all of our work. It's their work. I just happen to be here. So, but no, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!